Welcome to A-Level PE Unlocked, the podcast that gets you exam ready one topic at a time. I'm your host, and today we're diving deep into one of the most fascinating and high-value topics on the WJEC A-Level Physical Education Specification: goal setting, stress, and arousal. This is topic 3.2, and trust me, if you nail this, you are picking up marks that a lot of candidates leave on the table. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get into it. Let's start with the big picture. Why does this topic matter? Well, in sport, the difference between a gold medal and a near miss is often not physical, it's psychological. Elite athletes and their coaches spend enormous amounts of time managing arousal levels, controlling stress responses, and setting goals that keep performance on track. The WJEC examiners know this, and they want you to demonstrate that you understand the theory and can apply it to real sporting contexts. So throughout this episode, I'll be linking every concept to practical examples because that's exactly what earns you marks at A-level.
Right. Let's begin with arousal. Arousal is defined as a state of physiological and psychological activation, varying on a continuum from deep sleep to intense excitement. It's essentially how switched on your nervous system is. Now, the key word here is continuum. Arousal isn't just on or off, it exists on a scale, and where you sit on that scale has a huge impact on how well you perform.
The first theory you need to know is drive theory, proposed by Hull in 1943. Drive theory suggests a simple, linear relationship. The higher your arousal, the better your performance. Sounds logical, right? But here's the catch. Drive theory only holds true for well-learned, dominant responses. So for an elite weightlifter performing a clean and jerk they've done 10,000 times, high arousal might indeed boost performance. But for a beginner learning a complex gymnastics routine, high arousal is likely to cause errors because their dominant response is the incorrect, unpracticed one. Examiners want you to flag this limitation. Drive theory is too simplistic for most real-world sporting scenarios. Now let's move on to the theory most candidates know, but often describe incorrectly. The inverted U theory, also known as the Yerkes-Dodson law. This proposes that performance improves as arousal increases, but only up to an optimal point. Beyond that optimal level, further increases in arousal actually cause performance to decline. When you draw this graph, and you may well be asked to, the x-axis is labeled arousal and the y-axis is labeled performance. Please, please do not label the y-axis as arousal. That is one of the most common mistakes I see, and it costs marks every single time.
The peak of the inverted U represents optimal arousal, the sweet spot where performance is at its best. But here's what makes this theory more nuanced and what will earn you the higher marks. The position of that peak is not fixed. It shifts depending on three key factors. First, skill level. A novice performer reaches their optimal arousal at a lower level than an expert. An experienced rugby player can handle and benefits from higher arousal than a beginner. Second, personality type. Introverts tend to have naturally higher cortical arousal, so they reach their optimal performance at lower levels of additional arousal compared to extroverts, who need more stimulation to reach their peak. Third, task complexity. Simple, gross motor tasks like sprinting or weightlifting require higher arousal for optimal performance. Complex, fine motor tasks like snooker, archery, or golf putting require lower arousal. Remember this with the phrase, simple needs high, complex needs low. Now, the inverted U theory is a step forward from drive theory, but it has its own limitations. It assumes a smooth, gradual decline in performance after the optimal point. But anyone who has watched a footballer completely freeze in a penalty shootout knows that performance doesn't always decline gradually. Sometimes it falls off a cliff. And that's exactly what catastrophe theory addresses. Catastrophe theory was developed by Hardy and Fazy in 1987, and it is the most sophisticated of the three arousal theories. It introduces a crucial second variable, cognitive anxiety. Cognitive anxiety is the mental component of anxiety, the worry, the negative thoughts, the what if I fail thinking. Somatic anxiety, by contrast, is the physical component, the sweaty palms, the racing heart, the butterflies. Here's the critical point for your exam. According to catastrophe theory, when cognitive anxiety is low, the relationship between physiological arousal and performance follows the familiar inverted U pattern, a smooth curve with a gradual decline. But, and this is the key, when cognitive anxiety is high, the relationship changes dramatically. Performance can rise with increasing physiological arousal up to a point, but then, at the catastrophe point, performance drops vertically, not gradually, vertically. And crucially, recovery is not a simple reversal of the same path. The athlete must significantly reduce their arousal level before performance can return to its previous high. This is why you see athletes who choke in big moments struggle to recover even when they try to calm down slightly. They need to fully reset. When you draw or describe the catastrophe theory model, you must explicitly label the axes: physiological arousal on one axis, cognitive anxiety on another, and performance on the third. Examiners award marks specifically for correct axis labeling. Do not miss this. Now let's talk about stress. Stress is a non-specific response of the body to any demand placed upon it. In sport, we distinguish between two types. EU stress is positive stress, the kind that enhances performance. Think of the buzz a sprinter feels in the blocks before a race. That heightened state is motivating and performance enhancing. Distress, on the other hand, is negative stress. It impairs performance and can lead to anxiety, burnout, and injury. A footballer who is so worried about making mistakes that they avoid the ball is experiencing distress. The stress process follows a recognizable pattern. First, a stressor is perceived, perhaps a crucial match, a difficult opponent, or a high-stakes penalty. The athlete then makes a cognitive appraisal. Do they perceive this as a threat or a challenge? If they perceive it as a threat and feel they lack the resources to cope, the result is a stress response: increased heart rate, muscle tension, narrowed attention. This then impacts performance, potentially causing deterioration if the stress response is too intense. This leads us neatly into anxiety. Anxiety is a negative emotional state characterized by nervousness, worry, and apprehension. It has two dimensions. State anxiety is situational. It fluctuates depending on the specific circumstances. A footballer might feel high state anxiety before a cup final, but low state anxiety in a routine training session. Trait anxiety is a stable personality characteristic. Some individuals are predisposed to perceive a wide range of situations as threatening. A high trait anxious athlete is more likely to experience high state anxiety across many different sporting contexts. Right, now let's move to goal setting, and specifically the SMARTER framework that WGA uses. Goals are targets that direct behavior and regulate effort. Research consistently shows that specific, challenging goals lead to better performance than vague or easy goals. The WJSC SMARTER acronym stands for specific, measurable, agreed, realistic, time-bound, exciting, and recorded. Let me walk through each one. Specific means the goal is clear and precise. Not, I want to get better at tennis, but I want to improve my first serve percentage from 55% to 70%. Measurable means progress can be quantified and tracked. Agreed, and this is the one candidates most often get wrong, means the goal has been mutually agreed between the athlete and their coach. It is not achievable on the WGAEC specification. Please memorize this. WGAED uses agreed, not achievable. Realistic means the goal is challenging but attainable given the athlete's current ability and resources. Time-bound means there is a deadline, by the end of the six-week training block. Exciting means the goal is motivating and personally meaningful to the athlete. And recorded means the goal is written down and documented, which increases commitment and allows progress monitoring. Now, alongside SMARTER, you need to understand the three types of goals. Process goals focus on the technique and behaviors during performance. For example, maintain a high elbow position throughout my freestyle stroke. These are particularly valuable for managing anxiety because they direct attention to controllable technical elements rather than outcomes. Performance goals focus on achieving a personal standard, run the 400 meters in under 55 seconds. These are self-referenced and don't depend on what competitors do. Outcome goals focus on the end result, win the county championship. These are the least controllable because they depend on opponents' performance, and research suggests they can increase anxiety rather than reduce it. For anxiety management, process goals are your best friend. Now let's talk exam tips and common mistakes. This is where you can really separate yourself from other candidates. Mistake number one, mislabeling graph axes. On any arousal theory graph, the y-axis is performance, always. Not arousal, not anxiety, performance. The x-axis is arousal. Write this on your hand if you have to. Mistake number two, confusing. Agreed with achievable and SMARTER. WGX is very specific about this. Agreed, not achievable. Mistake number three, describing the inverted U without acknowledging the moderating variables. If a question asks you to evaluate or critically analyze the inverted U theory, you must discuss how skill level, personality, and task complexity shift the optimal arousal point. A description alone will only get you AO1 marks. Analysis and evaluation require you to go further. Mistake number 4, failing to distinguish between somatic and cognitive anxiety when discussing catastrophe theory. The catastrophe only occurs when high cognitive anxiety combines with high physiological arousal. If cognitive anxiety is low, you just get the standard inverted U pattern. Mistake number 5, using outcome goals as a stress management strategy. Outcome goals increase pressure because they're uncontrollable. Process goals reduce anxiety by focusing attention on what the athlete can control. A top tip, integrate Hannon's zone of optimal functioning when critiquing the inverted U. Hannon argued that the optimal arousal zone is individual. It varies from athlete to athlete, and it's not always at the midpoint of the arousal scale. This is a much more personalized model than the fixed peak of the inverted U, and mentioning it in an evaluation question will earn you credit for higher order thinking. Now, for our quick fire recall quiz, I'll ask a question, pause the podcast, think of your answer, then I'll give you the correct response. Question 1. What are the 3 moderating variables that affect the position of the optimal arousal point in the inverted U theory? Pause now. The answer is skill level, personality type, and task complexity. Question 2. In catastrophe theory, what 2 conditions must combine to cause a vertical drop in performance? Pause now. The answer is high cognitive anxiety and high physiological arousal. Question 3. What does the A in WJEC SMARTER acronym stand for? Pause now. The answer is agreed, not achievable. Question 4. Which type of goal is most effective for managing pre-competition anxiety and why? Pause now. The answer is process goals, because they focus attention on controllable technical behaviors rather than uncontrollable outcomes. Question 5. What is the difference between eustress and distress? Pause now. Eustress is positive stress that enhances performance. Distress is negative stress that impairs performance. How did you do? If you got all 5, you are in great shape. If you missed any, go back and review those sections and make sure you're using the correct terminology in your written answers. Let's wrap up with a quick summary of today's key points. Arousal exists on a continuum and affects performance through 3 main theories. Drive theory, linear, applies to expert performers with dominant responses. Inverted U theory, bell curve, optimal arousal varies by skill, personality, and task complexity. Catastrophe theory, when high cognitive anxiety combines with high physiological arousal, performance drops catastrophically and recovery requires a full reset. Stress can be eustress or distress. Anxiety has state and trait dimensions. SMARTER goals, specific, measurable, agreed, realistic, time-bound, exciting, recorded, should be used with a mix of process, performance, and outcome goals, prioritizing process goals for anxiety management. And remember, in your exam answers, always apply theory to specific sporting contexts, always label your graphs correctly, and always evaluate. Don't just describe. That's it for today's episode of A-Level PE Unlocked. Good luck with your revision, and remember, the athletes who perform best under pressure aren't the ones who eliminate stress. They're the ones who learn to manage it. You've got this. See you next time.